Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. By the year 2024, 25% of all American workers will be over the age of 55. That's according to the U.S. Department of Labor. But what do those numbers mean for the ever-changing workplace? Might it cause a greater divide between young and middle-aged workers? Could it force some older workers to be pushed out or even challenged to get back into the workforce? We're talking about that tonight, specifically as it relates to the word ageism. My guests are S. Orlene Grant, president and founder of the Juanita Grant Foundation and the brainchild behind the 50-plus workforce forum and hiring event. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that in just a bit. Also, Ebony Rose Thompson, director for strategic initiatives and partnerships for America's Promise. Lines are open. Give us a call if you have a question about working over 50, whether you're talking about your current situation on your job or getting back into the workforce after the age of 50. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Orlene and Ebony Rose, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can we start with a working definition of ageism? Because as I mentioned earlier, people have heard of racism, they've heard of sexism. Ageism, not so much. What does that mean?
Well, I would say when you're looking at ageism, it's pervasive, as racism is. It's a different kind of separation, segregation, and it's also a negation of the person. And it's rather insidious, and it's really not well discussed or brought to the level of awareness that it should be. One of the great examples is once you start moving towards past the age of 50, getting into 60, 65, you start becoming invisible to the general public. People would relegate you to, she's an older worker, that's an older man, that's a senior, and then they begin to categorize you as, well, you're either moving off the stage or you either are off the stage. So you may come into a restaurant and with a younger person such as your niece or your grandchild, and they will talk to your grandchild but not you. Or they will ask your grandchild or your daughter, what does she want? Or if you say something, it's not paid attention to. You may also feel more prone to be vulnerable walking down the streets because people look at you as being frail. You may have some chronic illness at that time, so you may have to have a cane or a walker or some type of assistance. And people start thinking of you as being incapable or not able to do things that you used to be able to do or keep up with the events that you were in. So it's insidious. It grows up on you very slyly, and before you know it, people start talking to you as, well, you're a senior, you're older, you're an older worker, and therefore you get relegated to the back of the room or the back of the conversation.
In the workplace, how does this manifest itself?
You see it in various shapes and forms. We see a lot through our research that we've done in looking at statistics and researching this, especially in Prince George's County. You look at it as forced retirement. Older workers are usually the first to be exited out if there's a downsizing. There's also a hesitation for human resource directors to allow you in the door. They'll look at your resume and see that your resume may be pretty long by the time you've been in your 50s. You've had a lot of experience, maybe a lot of different positions. And unless you reposition your resume, you may just be ruled out even before you can get into the door or upload. If you upload your resume, you may just be relegated out at that point because you may appear to be too experienced. Your salary range may appear to be out of the range of what they're willing to give you. But most people in this category is going back to work. usually want a part-time position, or they do not want the C-suite. They're not interested in being the head person to get the heavy hits. They're usually looking for something that is a little bit more flexible, a little less taxing, and something that they can work to or work at without much physical stress as well.
Ebony Rose, with the ever-changing workplace, because as those statistics suggested, we are going to have more mature workers, but we see in pop culture and hard numbers that there are there's a wave of younger workers. They're just coming out of college. They're just coming out of grad school. They are the new managers. They are millennials with another M, managers. How does that dynamic impact the workforce for workers over 50?
So, I'm actually a millennial,
right?
And in some places,
and you're going to speak for all of them.
I'm going to speak for at least one of them,
right?
In some places, that's actually a dirty word, right? Like I think people think of, and this is every generation has certain labels and characteristics that people expect you to come into the workplace with. The interesting thing I would say about any ism, whether it's sexism, racism, you're never actually fitting into one box. And so millennials are individuals too. And when we think about not just millennials, but I have a sister who is, I want to say Generation Z, they call it, because that's, I want to say 2000 and on. So that's 18-year-olds, right? Mm. They're also starting to enter the workforce because not everyone comes straight out of college or straight out of grad school. There are many careers where you're starting with even younger workers who have their own experiences. And so one of the things that is really important in just human development. So for us at America's Promise, we're the largest alliance dedicated to youth in the country. Most people don't know America's Promise as a brand name. They know our partners. They know Big Brothers and Big Sisters. They know the Boys and Girls Club. They know 4-H. What our partners do, and a lot of organizations do across the country, is they teach young people how to be people. They create those pathways to help them enter the workforce with different skills, because you don't just one day show up and know how to be really your best self. And so it's both a combination of preparing young people with the soft skills that are necessary and the hard technical skills that are necessary for any career. And then as a workplace, kind of embracing people of different ages and people of different backgrounds, because that means different experiences.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about getting and keeping a job over 50. What are the challenges of ageism? Coming up, by the way, next Wednesday, there is the 50 Plus Workforce Forum and Hiring event. It's going to be held in Fort Washington, Maryland. We're going to give you some information about that and talk about that in just a bit. So if you are looking for information regarding finding a job and you're over 50, or perhaps looking for information regarding keeping the job that you have, this is the place that you need to be. I'm going to talk about that in just a bit. Let me go to the phone line. So 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tish calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I am actually 55. I recently was in healthcare and changed my career and got into a different operation where the majority of the employees have been in the company for 20 plus years. They refuse to leave. We have 70-year-old people still working. People are working 30 to 40 years in the company, and the company are allowing them to stay. So it really depends on the organization. A lot of crafts that are out here or careers people get involved in where they tend to lean more towards a younger generation because they think the production could be more aggressive. They might be more faster, more dependable because they don't have families. So it really depends on the organization. I did have experience where some of my friends my age where they might have changed jobs or got laid off. they had like 2 and 3 and 4 years where they were having problems landing a good career job or just a good benefit paid job. Mm-hmm. So it is harder once you, if you're not stable or you're not in a job where you've been there for several years or long period to where you, you have been in the organization and you don't have no reason to leave the company, then you're set. But when you have been laid off and you have to start all over and find a job, it takes 3 to 4 or even more longer for someone at that age to find a job unless they had some type of connection or resource or just about marketing yourself, being able to sell yourself. I really don't think age really plays a big part.
Tish, let me see what my guests have to say about that. And thank you so much for your phone call. She said quite a bit, Orlean. One of the things that mm-hmm. struck me was she said she's 55, but she said depending on the organizations or jobs, sometimes they will let older workers stay. That sounds like ageism to me because we're talking about 50 and over workers, but I would argue that there is institutional knowledge and there are certain skills that whether you're 50 plus or 60 plus, and if you're on the job and you're doing the work, that an organization should value the work that you're doing. Is that a pie in the sky attitude?
Absolutely, they should value. And one of the things we stress in the Juanita C. Grant Foundation, which is dedicated to empowering the 50 plus community, is that we're trying to stress with their employers the value of keeping workers because of the institutional knowledge, because of the level of experience, compatibility, and also stability that they bring to an organization. These workers do stay once they are hired, fortunately, but there's also a huge number and almost a tsunami of perennials who have retired early, who took a buyout, who thought they had enough saved, but because due to life circumstances, a spouse may have passed, or they're taking care of adult children, or they're taking care of the grandchildren because of certain circumstances, or because of illness and cost of medication and home, they find themselves returning to work, needing part-time work. And I think the caller is exactly right. The worker, especially 55 and up, is unemployed longer than someone who is 30 to 45.
Let me stop you because I've got to take a break. But before we do, I need you to put some information out about the 50 Plus Workforce Forum and Hiring event. Briefly, what is it and where can people find information? We'll be talking about it throughout the evening, though. Please go right ahead.
This is a great opportunity. This is our second annual 50 Plus Workforce Forum. We recruited over 50 employers that are sensitive to the 50 plus population who have full and part-time positions available. We also have over 20 community resources there that would speak to some of the quality of life issues that the 50 plus group has that needs to be attended to, such as legal, respite care, home care, those kinds of issues. But this is an opportunity to really come with your resume, interview skills, and talk with over 50 employers about positions that are available.
Where can they find that information online?
That information is available on our website, jcgfdn.org. www.jcgfdn.org. Registration is on the front page.
There you go. That's jcgfdn.org. As always, we will be posting that information on our website on whur.com. We're going to continue this conversation on SiriusXM. Henry calling from Maryland. Nate calling from D.C. You're next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next. She's in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about working over the age of 50. What kind of challenges does ageism present for over 50, for the over 50 population as they are either trying to get back into the workforce or stay in the workforce? My guests are S. Orlean Grant, president and founder of the Juanita Grant Foundation. She's also the brainchild behind the 50 Plus Workforce Forum and Hiring event that's coming up on Wednesday, September 26th. And Ebony Rose Thompson, director for Strategic Initiatives and Partnerships for America's Promise. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. Nate calling, whoops, I'm sorry, Henry calling from Maryland. What's on your mind, Henry?
Hey, good evening to you. I wanted to just say amen to what your guest has stated a few minutes ago in reference to ageism and resumes and all kinds of things. I am in the over 60, but, you know, 60 is considered the new 50. I'm not ready to retire. I want to get back into the workforce. I've been on several interviews for the past 3 to 5 years, and it's almost like my resume is giving me away. I have the experience. I've even interviewed for a company that I used to work for. And when I went into the interview, I was interviewed by two millennials. I guess they thought that I would be a threat because of the knowledge that I did have. And I just wanted to know what your guest had to say to that. And how can I make my resume age-proof to the extent that they won't know how old I am unless I tell them?
Ebony Rose, I'll let you start with that because I think that may have been a surprise, not only for Henry, but also for the younger managers that were interviewing him. How do you deal with that kind of dynamic when, as a millennial, you are interviewing an older worker?
So I would offer that ageism isn't just about older. I'm not sure what feedback was provided around the interview, but I do think that there is this perception that younger people want to push older people out. And I don't think that's unilaterally true. I hear often, and not even just the workspace, but even in like social spaces, when it comes to, like, I'm someone who's super involved in my community, and there's this interesting dynamic of what it looks like to develop younger talent, what it looks like to pass the torch, what it looks like to try to communicate that institutional knowledge you talk about, that experience, but also translate that into what we now start to call 21st century skills. And I do think there's a recognition that should happen around, we are now in a different type of economy, and this is true for younger people and older people, where you have to have continuous skill development. I highlighted earlier that I have a younger sister, so I actually have three younger sisters. My youngest sister, it's her back to school night tonight. She's 15. She is the first generation that are digital natives. They don't have computer classes in school because computers are part of their everyday living, learning, working experience. That's not true for someone who is 65, 55, 45, even 35. I'm under 35. And when I was in school, like, I remember floppy disks, right? I remember going to computer classes and someone saying, this is how you work the computer, instead of that just being part of, when I was in college, Everybody has a laptop. Nobody had to teach anybody to use the computer. It was just part of your experience. I point to those things not to say that digital natives are at any type of particular advantage, because experience only comes with living life. They can't possibly have that. I more so point to that to just note that we are in a changing economy in a different way, that the jobs that we have today are not jobs that would have been imagined 20 years ago. The jobs that are 20 years from now aren't, we can't possibly fathom today. And so I don't know if it's always that younger people don't have an appreciation for the experience of older people. I think rather is that some bridge building has to be done around how do you both give young people a chance and develop them so they can take on appropriate roles and give them a pathway into meaningful careers. But then also, how do you build on and use that experience that older workers have? And there's some reciprocity that needs to be built.
And to Nate's point, because I think he asked a critical question that a lot of people his age and younger are still trying to figure out, how do you age-proof your resume? Do you have a couple of points you can share with him briefly?
I think there's a lot of good points, and I especially like the statement that this is not the same economy that it was. It's a shifting economy for sure. And one of the things we found out in doing our research in the Grant Foundation is that the 50-plus, especially 55 and maybe 65 and up, have stepped back from the stage a bit and have not kept up with technology, have not kept up with some of the hot new trends in the workforce or the emerging industries that are open to training anyone to take on some of those roles. And what we are finding that if you can reframe your resume down to two pages, reframe the experience to move it up front to the front page, and really consolidate the level of positions that you've had in your resume, you'll have a better chance of getting into the front door. But it's also reframing in your mind how you're approaching the job situation.
May I just add one thing to that, though? I think that, and this is for any job seeker, being able to have a story that makes sense to someone else for why you want a position is really important.
Well, also being able to find your passion again.
Yeah.
One of the things we do know that when people are coming back for a part-time or a full-time position, they want to do something different. They don't necessarily want to go back to exactly where they were. So we're trying to help them through workshops and seminars with our planning partners to find that current passion and then how to reframe that into making that story. And when you have your 30 seconds, to really get across what your passion is and what this means to you in trying to go for this position.
Henry, thank you so much for your phone call and good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nate, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Nate. What's on your mind?
Hey, Hal Fisher.
Hey.
Thank you for accepting my call. I was driving down the street, and I heard you announce that they were going to be talking about trying to get a job once you pass 50.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to share very briefly that when I first started out in life, I am an African-American male. I was very multitaskful. I sought out different areas of the workforce. I never wanted to be in the government. I've never worked for the government. I am 62 years old now. But I think my earlier foundation is what allowed me to keep myself stable and keep myself in the right mind, even when I didn't have a job. In my early years, I went to Hampton University as a young lad at the age of 19.
And Nate, I gotta stop you. I've got a lot of folks on the line. Wrap up your point real quick, because I definitely want my guests to react to it. What's the bottom line for you?
The bottom line is that a person is gonna have to be able to reinvent themselves. I, at the age of 54, decided to go back to school. When I was tired of working, there was nowhere else to go. I didn't have a complete degree. And at 54, I decided to go back to school. I went to I majored in computer science. I did 4 straight years at Strayer University. After coming out of Strayer, it was tough. I didn't have a job.
Well, let me see what Orlean has to say about that. And thank you so much for your phone call. I think that's such a critical issue, reinventing oneself, particularly when time is of the essence.
That is certainly true. When you are looking for a position, or you're trying to, if you made the decision you need to go back to work, there's a few things that you really need to do. Take an inventory of what your skill sets are. Have you really kept up to date? If you have any deficits, as this gentleman did, plug those with workshops. There are numerous agencies around the area that will work with you to get your IT skills back up to date, your interview skills, and your resume. You want to start looking at how to do online job search, which is different. We were used to doing, getting the newspaper and looking. That's not there anymore.
Newspaper?
No.
What's that?
What is a newspaper? That's right. So it's online job search. And also a critical factor, which we've learned in the foundation and we try to pass this on, is get back into your network. Get an active network so that people can let you know what positions are open. Many people have let their network go, so you need to re-engage and be out there and be looking and searching.
Excellent. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michelle, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Michelle. What's on your mind?
I was calling in reference to, is it just open for people in PG County to come to the fair, or open to everyone in the state of Maryland?
Well, the Grant Foundation is dedicating its efforts to the Prince George's County 50-plus individual. We would never turn anybody away. If you are looking for a position, I would advise you, if you're in the area, to please come by. But we are dedicating most of our resources in the foundation to the Prince George's County. But it is open.
And certainly the information
is available.
Is available for anyone, no matter
right.
where they happen to live or where they are in the employment situation. And so I would certainly encourage you, Michelle, to head out, because this isn't just a job fair, but there is, there's a great deal of information as far as, like you said, updating your skills, and this is a learning opportunity, I would imagine.
It is, and it's also a networking opportunity. You will be able to meet over 50 employers in one fell swoop. That's most unusual. And the key for this is these are employers who are sensitive to the needs of the 50-plus. We have recruited them. We have been very upfront about what the profile is of the individual that will be attending. So this is a great opportunity if you're 50-plus and older.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you
okay,
so much.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Peggy, calling from Severn, Maryland. Hey, Peggy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Mr. Fisher, thank you so much
mm-hmm.
for this program. It's very valuable. I have a couple of things I'd like to say. First of all, I don't agree with everything that your guests are saying this evening. Number one, the young lady that identified herself as a millennial, she made a valid point in stating that this is a change in the economy that we're in. I agree with that part. There are some things that I don't agree with. I am 60. At 55, I went back to college. Not only did I get my associate's, I got my bachelor's. I work in the legal environment. I've been a legal secretary for over 30 years, 38 years, as a matter of fact. The reason I went back is because when we went through the 2008 crash for the housing, law firms saw all these kids getting out of school and they didn't have jobs. So they started saying, well, you know what? We'll take them. They have degrees. They have bachelors. Then they started saying to us, you have to get a bachelor's in order to keep your job. At 55, I went back to school. Amounted $60,000 plus in debt. And now I want to do something else. So I took classes on getting my resume updated, limiting my job experience, rearranging putting my experience up. I take all kinds of classes. I've gotten certifications in Microsoft leadership, you name it.
Well, Peggy, I need to take a break, but I want you to hold on because I want to be clear. What is it that you don't agree with and where we may have a possible meeting of the minds, millennial minds, perennial minds, and everybody in between. Stay with me, Peggy. We're going to take a quick break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Channel 141.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about older workers, 50 plus, staying in the job or getting back on the job market. What are the challenges of ageism? We were talking to Peggy, calling from Severn before the break. Peggy, what is it that you did not agree with? Help us understand where there was the issue.
Exactly agree with was older workers don't always keep up with the training. That struck a chord in me because every older worker that I know, in the legal environment that I work in, has to keep up with the training. We have to file documents to the court electronically. We have to upload databases, documents to databases. We have to constantly keep up with our skills. So I don't know what older workers and what environment you're talking about that doesn't keep up with today's skills, but in my job, I have to. As a matter of fact, I train a lot of younger people.
Well, let me have Ebony Rose address your question, because I don't think you heard her clearly, but please go right ahead.
Yeah, so my point is that we are now in an economy that is ever changing, and all workers at all ages have to reinvent themselves, have to keep up with different skills. So, and just a little bit, probably that's helpful about me to understand where I'm coming from. So people at all ages got hit by the 2008 recession. That was actually, and I'm telling on myself, but that was actually the year I graduated from college. I went to the University of Pennsylvania. Yes, Trump is one of our alumni, but he's not indicative of all of our alumni. But most people who graduate from UPenn, they go into investment banking. And I had friends literally walking out of places like Lehman Brothers with boxes on television. And so it's not that everyone at a younger age bracket benefited from that recession. And it was like, oh, you're cheaper, we can replace you. So many people got hit and no one was expecting it and no one was prepared for it. Now, my point, though, however, is that whether you're 30, 60, 22, we all are now in a different place where we have to continue to reinvent ourselves. We have to continue to do like on the job training and skills. And both as employees, we have to recognize that and be open to that. But employers also need to support that. And there are some employers that are a lot better about continuous training opportunities, continuous professional development opportunities and resources for their workers, helping to offset the cost of going back to school, having internal development programs, and some aren't. And we are now in a world where that is absolutely necessary, to your point about the workers that you know, but not every single place and not every single industry is built up in a way to keep up with the way our economy is today.
And I think also, Peggy, Orlean put a really fine point on it, and I think the key phrase that you mentioned was workers that I know. Mm-hmm. Which means that the workers that you know have not had that career break. They are in it, and because they're in it, they get the training, they get the update, they know what an app is, they understand based on their younger, their younger employees, what In My Feelings and Drake means. I mean, those kinds of water cooler conversations. But if you retire early, at 55, and then you take a break, and then you try to get back in at 60 or 62, technology that you may not have been introduced to at the time of your retirement has exploded, not just within the 5 to 7 years, but the 5 to 7 months every 5 to 7 months. And I think that's the thing that Ebony Rose and Orlean were just referring to. Am I right there?
Absolutely. If you're on the job, and hopefully you have an enriching atmosphere in which you can have that training. I was fortunate in my early career to have in the hospital industry and the healthcare industry that you were expected to be there, but the companies were very forthcoming in making sure you were up to date, and you just needed to take advantage of it. However, the individuals we are trying to help and at the most in doing focus with groups with them to have taken this break from their career. They've taken 5, 10, 15 year break and finding themselves now in the need to go back. And so then it becomes, what is your fourth act and how do you get prepared for your fourth act? And where is your passion? What are your skills and how do you translate those and get the update that you need as far as those skill sets?
Peggy, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dawana calling from Tennessee. Thanks for calling, Dawana. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I wanted to ask a question about the age-proofing of a resume. I'm 54, and I have more than 30 years experience in broadcast, radio, TV, just media in general. I was laid off due to convergence. I was one of those people that once I got out, I was out for about 4.5 years before I was able to find something. I had to transition into a different industry, which was education. That was a short-term job. Got laid off from that, again, starting to look again. In building my resume, I was told I needed to cut off the older experience and keep current what I had from the most recent years. However, to keep myself from age-proofing, I had to take all that off, but I'm taking off the bulk of information, the wealth of experience that I had when I was in my 20s and 30s.
Well, let's see what Orlean has to say about that, because I'm sure that's a question that you get quite a bit.
It is, and it's one that's pretty heart-wrenching, because as you say, you value what you've done. You want to make sure people understand the breadth and depth of your experience, and grouping your earlier stages of career development can be pretty traumatic. In my own case, in kind of de-aging my resume and grouping the early years of my nursing career and grouping them in a 10-year block from this to this, this is what I've done, and then the next 10 years, and then spell out exactly what's been occurring since then. So it was, and putting at the very top, what are your highlights of your career, and keeping the focus on that. But that's one way to group it in categories and make sure that you capture what you had, but not dwell on necessarily this date to this date to this date to this date, but grouping that so that you have categories of experience and going to a next category of experience.
Okay, Dawana, thank you so much. You wanted to share something else, Ebony Rose?
Oh, yeah. So, Peggy, something she said was really important that matters for so many people for so many years to come, and that's student debt. And so one thing that we start to talk about in pockets, and in an interesting way, we only talk about it with young people who are kind of more traditional students, but student debt can be crushing. The other part of what her comment struck for me too is just the ability to even have that type of experience to be able to go to college. We are assuming that every young person that comes out of high school is prepared to be able to go to college and go on to higher education. And in a city like DC, if you look at the breakdown as far as income and all the struggles we're having with people just being able to live at making an affordable wage from day to day, that's something you have to do. And so, yes, that issue of like student debt, for-profit colleges, especially with the administration we're under currently, is one that we're going to have to deal with as a community and make some smart decisions around, and also just better educate and prepare young people.
I I have only a few minutes left, but I wanted to ask, Orlene, what do you hope a visitor to the Workforce Forum and hiring event on next Wednesday will come away with? Obviously, many want to come away with a job, but I think beyond that, I'm sure there is a broader, more holistic reward that you want to see them
absolutely
come away with.
The Workforce Forum opens up with a forum. We'll have a motivational speaker and a really stimulating panel discussion. And what we want to talk to and instill in every group that is moving through the forum is resilience. Is that this group is resilient through the life experience, being able to sustain yourself, being able to move through different phases of life. You have more resilience than you are even aware of. And we want to make sure we tap into this. We want to make sure we reaffirm and the level of confidence in people's skill sets, in your ability to maneuver and to negotiate this intergenerational workforce that is out there now. So resilience, refreshing your skills, skills, a sense of hope is what we want to instill in everybody that is attending.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that the second annual, and this is the second annual, the second year, so congratulations, Orlene, for bringing this about for a second year. The second annual 50-plus Workforce Forum and Hiring Event will happen on Wednesday, September 26th at the Southern Regional Technology and Recreation Complex. That's 7007 Bach Road. That's in Fort Washington, Maryland. And you should register, and you can find that information online at jcgfdn.org. That's jcgfdn.org. And as always, we will make sure that that information is posted on our website on WHUR.com a little bit after 8:30. I want to thank both of you, Esraline Grant and Ebony Rose Thompson, for coming in and talking to us. And good luck next week.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Thursday, September 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.